This is Asia Weekly from the Voice of America, the podcast that goes beyond the headlines and places events into context. Sung Joo Lee is probably a name you've never heard before. He's the son of a former North Korean military official whose family fell out of favor. Relegated outside of Pyongyang, his parents abandoned him on the streets. So, how did he manage to defect to South Korea while out on his own? Hey everyone, Steve Miller here. So great to have you with me today. North Korea has only had three leaders since its inception following World War II. Founder Kim Il-sung, his son Kim Jong-il, and its current head of state, Kim Jong-un. This year has not only seen the defection of a group of North Korean restaurant workers in China, but Taeyong Ho, the DPRK's number two man in London and the highest-ranking diplomat ever to defect. In total, more than 25,000 North Koreans have defected. Sung Joo Lee is a graduate student in London today. Now, his father was in North Korea's military. Sung Joo lived in Pyongyang as a child when founder Kim Il-sung was alive. Sung Joo doesn't have many memories of Kim Il-sung, but recalls
he was God. He was kind of above human being. And also my father was really loyal to Kim Il-sung. To my father, Kim Il-sung was kind of great leader. Then, which means I had to believe my father. So to me, Kim Il-sung was great leader. So there's no doubt that he was just human being. It was kind of above human being. But I didn't believe that he was God, but I believe that he was something, some kind of figure above a human being.
While he lived in Pyongyang, Sung Joo enjoyed a rather lush life. Excellent Taekwondo classes, good schools, and plenty of food on the table. Now to him, that was the way things simply were. But then...
My father came to house and then he just told me that we're going to northern part of North Korea for vacation. That's it.
He remembers feeling excited. After all, he was a young boy headed out for a vacation away from the city. But on the train out of Pyongyang, he realized something was amiss.
Because we get on the train, and then I don't quite remember, we changed the train outside of Pyongyang. Because we had to move, we have to get on another train. And then that train was really, really bad. And then smelly, and then there was no proper chair on the train. And then just packed up people. And then some people kind of covered their face with the blankets. And then some people were wearing kind of some plastic bag. And then I was really wonder what was going on. And then I asked my father, "Father, what is this? Are we in North Korea now?" So he said, "Yeah, of course."
Life in Gyeongsang was rough. Sung Joo and his family struggled. After a year, his father left, making his way to China. His mother told him that she thought perhaps his aunt might have some food for them and that she wanted to go visit her alone. Sung Joo, after losing his father, didn't want his mother to go, so he stayed with her all night, holding onto her hand in order to keep her close.
And then in the morning, I was really tired. And then I just closed my eyes, and then I opened my eyes. I was in the blankets. There was no mother.
That devastated Sung Joo, and his world collapsed. Without any way to provide for himself, he found himself out on the streets, forming a gang with other kids in order to pickpocket, steal food, or earn money by taking men to see night flowers, a euphemism for prostitutes.
We knew that stealing is a bad thing. The first time of stealing was really, really difficult. The second time get easier, and third time it's much easier. And then after fourth time, fifth times, it became my job.
He was on the street for 4 years, moving from town to town, because staying too long in one place would mean merchants would recognize him and stop them from looting their stalls and whatnot. Then, by chance, he returned to Gyeongsang in February 2001. He went to the train station looking for a mark to steal from when an elderly man approached him. The man said he knew Sung Joo and wanted to take him home. After conferring with his gang, Sungju agreed to go with the man, provided that he could take his friends along too. The man agreed, unbeknownst to him, that Sungju was planning to rob him of everything of value that he had.
And then I entered his house, and then I was searching something that is precious, right? We had to steal from everything from his house. And then my eyes were stuck on the wall. There was my mother's wedding picture. He was my real grandfather.
Sungju's grandfather had lost touch with his daughter, Sungju's mother, 4 years ago. Officials in Pyongyang had told him that the entire family had been relocated to Gyeongsang. And for the past 4 years, he went every Sunday to the train platform searching for his daughter. Sungju told his friends that they couldn't steal from the man, and they left. Sungju stayed, and in October of 2002, a man came to his grandfather's house who was sent by his father. The man helped Sungju defect to South Korea and ultimately reunite with his father. Sungju Lee's complete story can be read in the new book, Every Falling Star. It's available beginning September 13th, 2016. That's going to do it for this episode, but if you'd like to connect with me on Twitter or Facebook, find me at Steve Miller VOA or on our community Facebook page, VOA Now. If you enjoyed the episode, please share with your friends, and to get it delivered to you automatically, subscribe in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for joining me this week. From Washington, I'm Steve Miller.